It's particularly to the verse number 10 of Jeremiah chapter 10 this morning that I want to draw your attention to and draw some thoughts out of it this morning that I trust and pray will be a blessing and an encouragement to each and every one of you here this morning. Now, the background to Jeremiah chapter 10 was that Jeremiah, God's prophet, God's man here in this day and generation, he had a very difficult task ahead of him. The people of God sadly had turned away from the Lord, and they were embracing idol worship, worshipping the false gods of the heathen nations around about them. But what was Jeremiah to do about this difficult and this sad situation? Was Jeremiah to remain silent as God's prophet, as God's man? He was sent there by the Lord to speak for him. But was he going to remain silent? Or was he going to be God's mouthpiece to his people? Well, we know that Jeremiah clearly was God's mouthpiece. He was God's prophet. And he told the people, he rebuked the people for their sin. Sadly, God's people, knowing the truth, they had given themselves over to these false idols and these false gods. And we know that that provoked the Lord to anger. In their day, they were to stand out for God. But sadly, they only stood out for their sins. This chapter opens with Jeremiah's exhortation. He says there in verse 1, "Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel." So again, as God's servant here, he is there to speak God's word and not his own word. And this is what the people needed to hear in Jeremiah's day. And that is what the people need to hear today in our day and generation. It is the word of the living God. It is the word of God which points us to our problem. Our problem of sin. But also it points us to the solution for our sin in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as in Jeremiah's day, God's people had turned away from the truth and had embraced idol worship, and so as God's people, we need to remain steadfast and wholeheartedly behind the word of God. And every day of our lives as Christians, spending that time with the Lord in prayer and in meditating and reading upon his word. And as God's people today, brethren and sisters, this morning, we ought to be very wary of what we do and where we go, what we speak, and how we conduct ourselves, for the world is watching on. And sadly, the world was watching on here in Jeremiah's day, and they seen that a lot of God's people had turned away from the truth and had given themselves over to the sins and the idols of their heathen neighbours. We know that the heathen people of Jeremiah's day, they were given to looking at the stars to know the future. And we know that many today love to look at their horoscopes, whether that's on the television or the internet or through the papers. We see here in verse 2 there, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven." We see here that's talking there about horoscopes, and how many people today love to go to have their fortune told, and they want to contact evil spirits through seances and etc. to know what the future will hold. And brethren and sisters, this morning we know clearly that these methods are not of God. They are evil, and they ought to be avoided at all costs. And even though it may seem innocent to look at something like a horoscope in the newspaper, well, as God's people, we ought not to be doing those things. Because that's what the ungodly, that's what those who are not Christians round about us love to do. They want to go to these methods to try and work out and try to guess the future. But thank God we can come to the Word of God. And thank God, as the people of God, we know where we're going. We know that it's well with our souls. We know that there is a mansion prepared for us by our Saviour, who's gone into heaven before us, who's gone to prepare a place for us. And that is the great hope of the child of God here this morning. We see here as well that God had condemned it. He said, "Learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed." And brothers and sisters, this morning, let that be a challenge to us this morning, that we learn not the way of the heathen, that we do not what the ungodly do, that we do not what the ungodly want to do in promoting sin and running after sin and calling what God has called evil good and calling what God has called good evil. We see that around about us today in our land, and sadly Northern Ireland seems to be slipping further and further away from God. And as our nation stands at the brink of a possible second lockdown, our Prime Minister has yet failed to call a day of prayer. Our leaders have failed to call a day of prayer. And that's what our land needs today. Our land needs to call upon God, because the situation is looking very bleak and very desperate. But thank God for the child of God, we have somewhere to turn. We have one to whom we can look to this morning. The one who holds us in the very palm of his hand. Safe and secure in the Lord's hand this morning. Men and women, there's only one place we need to go to where we know what lies ahead, and that is the Bible. And thank God the Bible has stood the test of time. It has stood against every attack that the devil has labelled against it and aimed against it. And that's why this morning I want to bring you again to the Word of God and encourage you from the Word of God, but also that the Lord would challenge each and every one of our hearts, myself included, that we would not learn the way of the heathen, that we would not be dismayed when we look at the heathen and how the heathen are looking to their own gods, their own idols. That is why I read a few moments ago from Psalm 115. And in that psalm we learned that the psalmist there is speaking of how the heathen form gods by their own hands. They have eyes they cannot see, they have ears they cannot hear, they have hands but they cannot touch, they have feet and yet they cannot run. And sadly many look today to godly, ungodly and wicked methods to see what not only the future holds for them, but see what they can do to prosper in this life. And it says here in verse 2, Jeremiah is saying to the people, "And be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them." And this simply means that they were fearful of them. We read here of a place called Chaldea. As well, in Chaldea we know was a place which was known for such ungodly practices. It was a very wicked city, given over to not only idol worship, but something also known as judicial astrology, which was condemned by God. The stars were used for knowing times and seasons. We know that in Genesis 1 and 14. But yet here they were using them for an ungodly and a wicked means. And yet, as God's people, we not to shy away from those things. We ought to avoid those things at all costs. If we want to know what the future holds for us, dear child of God, we ought to come to God's Word. If we want to know what the will of God is for our lives, we come to the Bible. And that is how the Lord instructs us. That is how the Lord teaches us and guides us. It is by His Word. Remember the Saviour said of the Word of God that heaven and earth will pass away, but God's Word will not pass away. God's Word will always remain. As Christ, He is the epitome of the living Word of God. And Christ will live forever. And Christ will never be defeated. Christ will never die or be perished. And that is a great encouragement for us this morning as the children and people of God, that we can come to God's Word that He has given to us. And our most accurate translation of the Authorized Version is how He speaks to us this morning. I want to, first of all, to notice this morning, and I want to draw your attention, first of all, to verse 6. And I want us to notice, first of all, that God is incomparable. God is incomparable. Because it says there in verse 6, "For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord." There is none like unto thee, O Lord. We know that in the Bible, in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14, God spoke to Moses at the burning bush, and He said, "And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And He said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you." And here Moses was being instructed by the Lord to go and to call His people out of Egypt, to go directly to Pharaoh and to say, "Pharaoh, let my people, let the people of God go." And here the Lord uses this name, I am, declaring the great omnipotence of His name, the great person of His name, the great God of heaven, the great Jehovah, the one who is self-existent, the one who does not depend upon anybody else or anything to live. And yet what an encouragement that must have been for Moses when God declared to him who He was and His name. And yet It was upon that name that Moses was able to go to Pharaoh and be able to stand against that wicked Pharaoh and say, God, the true God has sent me. Your pagan gods, your gods of Egypt, they're nothing but figments of your own imagination. And yet they were simply the same as what the psalmist says in Psalm 115. As the people of God sadly had given themselves over to the idols of their heathen neighbours. And yet, God sent a man. Just as God sent Moses to Pharaoh, and God sent Jeremiah to his people, to declare to the people, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of them. Jeremiah here issues a reminder to the people. You see, they had given themselves over to idol worship. And sadly, each and every one of us as Christians, we may not bow down to statues which we could make or which somebody else has made, but if we let somebody or something else come into the place of God's place in our heart, well, then we've given in to idolatry. And whether that's our job or our family or a loved one, it's very easy, brothers and sisters, this morning to remove God from his rightful place in the throne room of our heart. And let that be a warning to each and every one of us not to put anything or anybody else before the Lord. As the Bible tells us in that first commandment, I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And yet we see in our land today people having any other god they want except the one true God. Oh yes, they'll run after the god of self and seek to gain as much as they can out of this world to satisfy their own selfish desires and lusts. Or else they will worship a false god of their own imagination, or a god of the cults, like in Mormonism or the Jehovah's Witness, and sadly even Catholicism today, a Christ which is not found in Scripture, a Christ which is contrary to Scripture, a Christ which has to be appeased by his mother Mary. That's not the Christ of the Scriptures. And yet, brethren and sisters, this morning, let that be a warning to us. Let that be a challenge to us this morning, that we would search our hearts, that we would not have any other gods before the Lord himself. But we see here the reality of God's nature. It's his here that God is great. And why is God great this morning? God is great this morning because he is great. He is the only one who is truly great. He is great because of his perfection, because of his nature, because he is perfectly just. He's perfectly holy. He's perfectly loving. And isn't it wonderful to know, brethren and sisters, that he's perfectly gracious. He's perfectly merciful, despite our many faults and failings as Christians. And as we learn in the Psalms, that he is long-suffering. He is long-suffering and he is merciful. But not only that, he is good. He never does anything which is sinful. He never does anything which is wrong. He's always good. God is good all the time. And all the time God is good. He judges righteously. And he will never judge anybody unrighteously. And that is how, as Christians this morning, we can be right in the sight of God. Because the Saviour was judged on our behalf. That God the Father judged his Son when he bore our guilt, when he bore our sins upon the cross all those years ago. And yet that is how God can remain just and righteous. Because Christ, our sinless, sin-bearing substitute, he took our punishment, he took our place, and God poured out his wrath for our sins upon his Son. And thank God that Christ finished the work. He paid our debt of sin in full. And that is why God can look upon the child of God this morning, righteous and just, because we have received Christ's imputed righteousness. But I want you to also notice with me the reality of his name. It says there that thy name is great in might. And this is a reference to his power and his might. The Lord, he is in charge of this universe, and he knows everything which has come to pass and which will come to pass. COVID-19 did not take him by surprise this morning, brothers and sisters. The Lord has permitted it for some reason. And we thank God that even though, despite the difficulties, despite the confusion which our land appears to be in at this time, we thank God that there's no confusion with him. This has not taken him by surprise. He's not acting in a knee-jerk reaction way to our present circumstances and situation. But it has fallen out according to his will. And praise God, we thank him that even though we have not been able to meet for a number of months, yet there was still, the gospel was going out over the airwaves. The gospel was going out over the internet. And sinners were being brought in under the sound of the word of God, even in their own homes. And that the word of God was going out faithfully. We were called to be faithful, and we were faithful in the word of God. And many have come and have not only been under the sound of the word of God, but many have come and trusted in him. That mysterious name as he revealed to Moses at the burning bush, I am. That is the name Yahweh. Remember that his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he used that name when he was speaking to his disciples in John's Gospel and those different accounts where he refers to himself as, I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. Again, the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament, the one true God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we also notice in Philippians, if you turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. And this is what the Apostle Paul is saying of Christ. He says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We see here that, secondly, God is true. Verse 10 of Jeremiah chapter 10, it says, but the Lord is the true God. God is true. He is a great covenant-making and covenant-keeping God. And he stands in total opposition and total enmity against the idols of men. And brothers and sisters, this morning, let me remind you that God, he is totally dependable. You can depend upon the Lord fully today. For he will never let you down. He will never break a promise. Oh yes, even your closest of friends may let you down. Your family may let you down, but the Lord will never let you down. The Lord will never fail you. The Lord will never forsake you. He will never lie to you. He will never be dishonest to you. He will never deceive you. He will never lead you down the wrong road. Because the Lord will never do that to his people. But the Lord will lead and guide his people if they seek him. And if you will seek him and search for him with all your heart, if you desire to be in the very center of God's will this morning, brothers and sisters, God will lead you and guide you, because that is his will for your life. It's not his will for your life that you would be stuck, that you would be struggling as a Christian, but that you would be saved, that you would be matured, and you'd be growing stronger and matured in your Christian faith. But not only that, he gave us his truth in the person of his darling son. For we know that very familiar verse in John 14 and 6, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Also, he is holy. He is infallible. He is inspired and inerrant. That is his word. And so since God is the one true God this morning, ought we not to love him? Ought we not to serve him with all our ability? For Jesus said to his people in Matthew 22 and 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And as believers, we ought to be living for God. We ought to be seeking to live for him. And not only that, but we ought to be living lives that are honest, that are full of integrity, lives that are faithful and dedicated. You know, the Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it all to the glory of God. And the Savior said in John chapter 8 and verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Where God is true and he is the truth, this is in total opposition to the devil. For we know that the devil, he is a liar. He is the accuser of God's people. He sows discord among Christians. He hates God. He hates the light. He hates the Savior. And we know that the Bible describes him as that roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But it also describes him as an angel of light who comes and appears as an angel of light, which seems to be good. But inwardly, he truly is that wolf in sheep's clothing. And that is why, brothers and sisters, this morning, we know that God is true and God will never lead us outside the will of God by his Spirit. And that is why we ought to be wary this morning, that we are not ignorant, as Paul said, of the devil's devices. But we also see here, thirdly, this morning, in verse 10, that not only is the Lord the true God, but praise God, he is the living God. He is alive forevermore, unlike the idols of the heathen nations that were in Jeremiah's day, unlike the false gods of the figments of men and women's hearts today, which we know. These idols have no life, and yet our God gives unto men the ability to live. Christ came to give us life, life with a capital L. He said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And truly, until we know the Saviour, until we know Christ, until we are born again by his Spirit, then we are not truly living. We're only merely existing in this world. When we see the unsaved as they go about in their day-to-day routine, they're simply existing, living for whatever it is they're living for, whether that's possessions or power or things. But yet as a Christian, we're living for our Saviour. We're living in remembrance of that there's a day coming where we will be with him forever. And that our earthly journey on this earth is only but for a short time. Our earthly pilgrimage is not forever. But yet when we leave this scene of time, that for the Christian, we have that great hope that will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And that is why we come to one who's alive forevermore. He gives on to his sheep that eternal life. And praise God, we serve one who's alive forevermore. Oh yes, many today are looking to a dead prophet or a dead idol of their own imagination. But praise God, we have the gospel today. We have Christ this morning to present to you. We don't present ourselves, but we present Christ to you this morning. We can present Christ to the sinner as the only way to heaven, the only way to get our sins cleansed, the only way to have our sins dealt with, the only way to have our souls saved for time and for eternity. And where the idols of men, they have no eyes, they have no ears, they have no hands, they have no feet. Yet our God is not confined to these things. Our God is limitless. Our God is boundless. And yes, in our Bible we have descriptions for the Lord that he has eyes. For example, they're the eyes of the Lord. And also another familiar passage. It says that his ear isn't heavy, that it cannot hear. His hand is not shortened and it cannot save. And these are simply physical descriptions of the Lord. Anthropomorphisms, as the theologians would term it. Simply men giving physical human descriptions to the way the Lord works. We know that the Lord, he is a spirit, and he is not limited by time, or he's not limited by our human frailties, but he is far beyond that. And yet, brethren and sisters, this morning, he is a God who's alive, but a God who sees, a God who hears. And let that challenge us in what we look upon, what we listen to, and what we do or don't say. Let that challenge us, as the little children's chorus says, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little tongue, what you say. But be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little hands, what you do. For your Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little hands, eyes, feet, and tongue, what you do. When we think of Christ and that life he lived, that life of sinless perfection, that life that, brothers and sisters, you or I could never live. But praise God, he lived it. And he satisfied God's standards for us. And we can look to him this morning, the one who came and glorified his Father upon the earth. The one who lived and died, and praise God, he rose again for our justification. When we think of him and what he did for us, we just take those moments to think of Christ and how he left the splendors of heaven, and how he went to the cross for a sinner like me, a sinner like you this morning, and all those things that he endured for us. Surely that ought to humble us afresh this morning. Surely that ought to encourage us afresh this morning. And surely that ought to resolve us in our own hearts and minds, that we would not go on the strength of the flesh, but we would go on the strength of the Lord. That we would live our lives for him. That we'd have no other gods before us. That we would serve the one who is true, the one who is living forevermore. But lastly, verse 10 there, I want you to see that Jeremiah says, not only is the Lord the true God, not only is he the living God, but he is an everlasting King. And that's the last thought I want to leave with you this morning, is that God, he is the eternal King. The Bible commentator Ellicott put it this way. He said that King of eternity is a far grander title. And as the King of this universe, the Lord rules over it as sovereign and supreme. He's never abdicated his reign over this world, and praise God, he never will. He remains steadfast upon his throne in heaven this morning, ruling as the only King and head of his people. As Christ reigns at his right hand as the only King and head of the Church of Jesus Christ today. Praise God this morning, brethren and sisters. It doesn't matter who's on the throne of England this morning. It doesn't matter who's in the White House this morning. It doesn't matter who's giving the orders from the European Parliament this morning. Because we have a God who's reigning in heaven this morning. A God who is reigning for his people. A God who is living for his people. The one true God who is true, who's alive forevermore. Who is the King. Who is the King of his people. None can stay his hand. None can question or prevent him from what he wants to do in accordance with his will. And since he is eternal this morning, since he has no beginning, nor does he have any ending, he always has been. And praise God, he always will be our God. Remember, dear Christian, today that you are safe and secure in the hand of God. Turn with me back in your Bibles to Psalm number 90. The last reference I want to bring to you this morning for your own encouragement. Psalm number 90, and we'll read verse 1 there. Moses is speaking here. He says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth or ever, thou hast formed the earth and the world. Even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Praise the Lord this morning, dear child of God. Our God is from everlasting to everlasting. He's the one that spoke this universe into existence. And he will be here even after this world has passed away. God will always be here. And dear child of God, let that encourage your heart this morning. That we serve one who is alive, the one who is true, the one who is reigning over every circumstance and situation. Perhaps this morning you're going through a situation. Perhaps you're going through a difficulty this morning that perhaps nobody else in this meeting house knows about. But the Lord knows this morning, dear Christian. The Lord cares. The Lord is interested in your situation. He's not disinterested. He doesn't care, because he does care. And how do I know that? Well, again, look to Christ. When you think of what Christ has done for you and how he was tempted, he endured more than any man, woman, boy or girl could endure in this life. And yet he did it. He endured it for you, and he endured it for me this morning, dear Christian. And that is why I want you to be encouraged this morning as we think that there is one true God. And that is the God who we present to you this morning. The Father, Son and Holy Spirit, the great Trinity, the three in one. And while others are worshipping a false God this morning, praise God, we have the truth today. We have the truth which we can present to our family members, to our neighbours, to our kith and our kin, to the wider society out there today, that there is a God in heaven with whom we have to do. And that is why men and women this morning need to be right with God. That is why as Christians we ought to be living for him. Because you know the night's coming. when none of us will be able to work, and our day of opportunity will be passed from this scene of time. Oh dear Christian, let us be about the Master's business today, worshipping this one true God, not a God of our figment of our imagination, but the one true God revealed to us in Holy Scripture this morning. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Oh yes, the Lord's going to judge sin. And nobody will be able to speak out against the Lord. When he comes and judges the earth, you know, it tells us in the Bible that the people will call for the rocks to fall upon them, the mountains to fall upon them, to hide them from the face of the Lord. And yet they will not call upon the Lord at that time, even though they know that they're not right before God. And brothers and sisters, let that be something to spur us on, to keep preaching the gospel, even though we may not be seeing much fruit for our labours at this present time. Whether we're going over to Scotland, whether we're broadcasting over the internet, whether we're reaching out to this city of Londonderry and further afield, we take them the same message of Christ, because we serve the one true God, who is alive, who is true, and who is the only King forever. Trust and pray that these thoughts will be an encouragement to each and every one of your hearts this morning, that we would be encouraged and keep pressing on in these days in which we live.